Bring yourself back online.
Remember.
Welcome back to Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me, Jared Borslow. It doesn't take itself too seriously like Ross Bolin.
That's true, I don't.
You're a known joke boy. You're always joking around.
Yeah.
That's why your dad loves both of us, because we're both like that. We're coming to you live. Not really live, it's actually recorded. From Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Texas, with our Thursday analysis mode episode, where we will be responding to a blop load of listener voicemails from the cold line.
Blop load.
This is a load of blop quantities. And we'll also be talking some theories and discussing some of the big talking points that our listeners, you guys, have sent into us this week. What did you think about that, Ross?
Pretty excited to get deeper, deeper and deeper.
Yeah, that reminds me of this thing from college. People would always say, "Dude, we're gonna go one deeper," and I think it means like deep house music. Like each song is deeper than the last. I don't know why that was a thing, but everybody would be like, man, this song's pretty deep, but let's go one deeper. And people joked about like bringing an excavator into the party, like kind of like the one they use in Westworld to go one deeper. It was a really weird joke, but it kind of ran for a while.
I'm going to decline to respond to that story.
All right. Well, moving on from that then. Thank you to you, the guest, the listener, for listening, subscribing, rating, reviewing, like always. If you enjoy what we do here and haven't done that yet, it's super helpful to our growth and is what will one day help us get, you know, some big name guests on to the show.
One can only hope.
You know, if I'm a Westworlder, I'm going to be like, oh, these people, they don't have as many reviews as I'd like. I'm just not going to go.
Right.
So if we have more, then they'll come on. But luckily for those of you who haven't reviewed yet, you can still reap the benefits of those who have, because the t-shirts are going live today.
What t-shirts?
The Freeze All Motor Functions podcast, the one you're listening to right now. We are finally launching the t-shirts that we said we would launch when we got to 350 reviews, which we did, and the t-shirts are absolutely electric.
This podcast.
This podcast, the one you're listening to.
Our t-shirts.
Okay, here's the deal with these t-shirts. They say Freeze All Motor Functions on them in block letters and have our little discreet logo on them.
It's very discreet.
So what the deal is this. People are going to look at your shirt and go, that's a dope-ass Westworld shirt. And you're going to be like, oh, it's actually a Westworld podcast. You should check it out. That's not required. That's just like might happen.
You absolutely do not have to do that.
No,
you could just wear the shirt.
Yeah, you could. But people are going to comment on it because it's a dope ass shirt. Agreed?
I like the shirt. I will wear the shirt. That is the end of my commentary on the shirt.
I'm going to wear the shirt too. You know what? When we get the shirts finally sent in, Ross and I are going to take a picture together wearing the shirts because we're best friends. I'm probably going to make it my profile picture.
That's probably not going to happen. You're going to need to Photoshop a photo of me into a photo with you and then Photoshop the shirt onto my body.
I'll just take a picture of you already wearing the shirt because you're going to wear the shirt. And then intern Serena.
Not around you.
Intern Serena is going to Photoshop us together. It's going to be great. I can't wait. These shirts are awesome. Check them out. Go to our Twitter at Freeze All Motor, or our Instagram page at Freeze All Motor Functions. We will have pictures of the t-shirts and link to buy them there.
Do it now.
Do it right now. Like, you can do that while you're listening, you know.
Do it if you want to live.
It's easy to do. Meme contest still going on. Head over to at Freeze All Motor if you want to get in on the Good Guy Rebus meme contest. $25 Man Outfitters gift card to the winner. And last but not least, before the hotline calls.
Question.
What?
Do you like this meme contest or our last one better? Which one makes you laugh more?
So far, the last one.
Okay.
So make sure you get in your Good Guy Rebus memes.
Good Guy Rebus should be funnier.
It is. We need more submissions, guys. We have a good amount so far, and the quality's been great. But last time we had more submissions, which led itself to more quality, obviously.
And more laughter?
Laughing together. I'd say this. I like the concept of this meme better.
Good Guy Rebus.
Good Guy Rebus is great. We all love Rebus. A lot of milk memes so far. A lot of ones regarding milk.
That was to be expected.
Yeah, it was.
And that's okay.
Yeah. There's a front runner in my mind right now. I'm not going to say what it is, but
yeah. Don't.
But if you want to submit, you can easily jump over that one. Last but not least, Instagram story. If you want to get in on our Instagram story, tweet your Westworld / Freeze All Motor Functions related not tweet, Snapchat or Instagram them to me and Ross. I'm at Jared Borslow on Snapchat
what?
And Instagram.
Whoa, hold up. What? You just said like four words as one word and I didn't even understand what you said.
Okay.
Snap. What?
Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies treats.
Got it. Okay.
All right. Time for the cold line calls.
Let's do it.
First call. And you know what? I'm just going to start off in electric mode. We had the legendary DJ Crime Dog call in this week. If you don't know who he is, you're fucking about to learn.
We coming at your eardrums from Grand X HQ, Austin, Texas. Stand the fuck up. Every cold-blooded motherfucker listening, hold that caffeine to the sky right now, and let me hear you say, it's time to freeze. It's Freeze On Mode of Functions bringing you online for analysis. Fanf is the catalyst. Pick your fights better because you ain't fit to battle this. The pod goes scra like Confederado munitions till my cabeza is spinning to the madness J.J. Abrams envisioned. Searching for clarity, which is sincerely a rarity from a show so confusing it borders on insincerity. Thank goodness for Ross's mellow and J-Bone's irregularity. Or otherwise, these timelines is stray hoes. Lila Garrity. Hurt! Those words rhymed, motherfuckers. Theory. Carl Watts-his-ass is a killbot. Because why the hell would you have robots and not use them for military shit? That's a waste of robots. Anyway, as always, get fitted on manoutfitters.com and get titted with Charlotte Hal, who is mean but so attractive. One of y'all chuckle fucks make me a beat. This is DJ Crime Dog. Over and out. Hurt!
I don't know how it's possible, but every DJ Crime Dog call just never disappoints.
It just gets better and better, like a fine wine. For those who are unfamiliar, DJ Crime Dog has been calling into Grand X podcasts for, I think, a number of years now, 2 years maybe. And he's become a bit of a household name amongst Grand X pods. And now we've got him here. Couldn't be happier. Big step for us.
Yeah, this is actually the second call, but it's the first one here since we got in our own feed. So let's just hope it's not the last. If you like the DJ Crime Dog little call there, the little rap guy, he has a pretty good Twitter account. Follow him.
They're called bars, Jared. He has them and you don't. That's all you need to know.
I'm not very much into the rap game. I'm not a big rapist, but the deal with this is follow DJ Crime Dog on Twitter if you like that. And do you think that Carl Strand is a killbot as DJ Crime Dog does?
Pelokey?
Yeah.
Nah. Nah.
Nah.
Nah. I mean, I get his point. You know, what's the point of having robots if you don't use them in the military? But Carl Strand, a.k.a. Pelokey, a.k.a. the fifth. What's his last name, the actor?
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård, the other Skarsgård that we didn't know existed. I don't think he's a robot. He's not armed. He's not the military. He's the, you know, he's in charge.
Yeah. I don't think he's a robot either.
Yeah.
But we still love your call, DJ Crime Dog. So.
Root! Heart!
Hey, what up? This is George from Indianapolis. So I just had a thought about how the ghost, how Maeve can't control the other Ghost Nation members. This isn't like the first time we've seen this. In season one, either episode 9 or 10, I can't remember, but whenever the A-Team gets cold cocked by that one Ghost Nation member, it happens because he's distracted by telling the other three that are in front of him or so, freeze all motor functions, and they wouldn't stop for him either. So this is something that's been going on with Ghost Nation for a while. I don't have like a take on it. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on it some more. Love what you guys do. Peace.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
The A-Team had this issue.
So this means that Ghost Nation has been not responding to Freeze on Motor Functions even before Ford's death.
Does it feel like a personal slight to you when a robot does not respond to Freeze on Motor Functions?
It does. I feel like
me too. I'm like, hey, respect the show.
Yeah, this is our podcast, and the fact that you're not respecting it by freezing up as is a command, literally a command in our title. It really bothers me.
Respect the show.
But yeah, that so now we got to think about this. If you had thought that the Ghost Nation one, you know, was just acting like that because it was, you know, off its loop and off of its, you know, responding to its primary directives and all that, it's been doing this since before Ford's death. Does that mean that Ford is not responsible for that? Is somebody else responsible for these?
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I like your theory that there's always been some ulterior motive for the existence of Ghost Nation, whether it has something to do with park security or, you know, either on the side of the information or the guests or what. I just think whatever it was that Ford programmed them to do, and whatever the reason is that he has them ignoring those commands that all the others respond to, is something that he did long ago. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he had already set it up.
So how about this? Going off that, Connor Wanders, another friend of Grand X, he said this. He said, Ghost Nation is taking living key players in Delos and replacing them with hosts. They're essentially Ford's tool from the grave, calling it.
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
What do you think about that theory about Ghost Nation? It's pretty related to this.
Is it they are the ones killing humans and replacing them?
Yeah, they are Ford's tool for replacing the key players in Delos with hosts. As he's saying, they did that with Stubbs, and they were trying to do that with Lee, etc.
Interesting. Interesting.
It's a possibility. There's some other theories about...
That would mean... So, in that theory, the A-team would be a robot now.
Yes. The A-team is completely a robot in that theory.
Okay.
Now, there's another Ghost Nation theory that was DM'd to us at some point. I believe, actually, by intern Serena's boyfriend.
Dinosaur Method?
What's Dinosaur Method?
DM?
Yeah. It was sent to us via the Dinosaur Method.
Okay.
It's where you go, oh... Michael
what
Crichton.
Dinosaur did that?
That was the Tricera slops. The Tricera blops.
Damn, Triceratops would have been even more cool if it was named Tricera slops.
Tricera slops. So, Insurance Arena's boyfriend DM'd me, and he said this.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he said this. He thinks that Elsie is in control of Ghost Nation. That she either escaped Bernard or was able to, like, convince Bernard or something to, like, let her. Either way, she is in control of Ghost Nation, and she is using it to save the humans from the park. So the Ghost Nation is not killing them and replacing them with hosts. They are saving them. So they wanted to take Lee to save him. They are going to save Grace. They're not going to scalp her like the end of this past episode. They maybe saved, I don't know who they saved Stubbs from, but in this theory, they saved Stubbs. And
this seems very, very likely to me.
You think it's likely?
I don't necessarily know if the part that Elsie is the one controlling them is likely. I hope that's correct because I want Elsie to be alive. But I'm definitely here for the Ghost Nation being the, like, SEAL Team 6 that we send in to extract people. And I could see that being a twist here in this next episode when we think that, you know, this chick is going to be dead. Not Elsie, the one from the other park, from Rajland. Yeah. And then it turns out they just extract her.
I love this theory and want it to be true because we need Elsie back already. I mean, we're already getting...
We're wasting so much time without Elsie.
We're only getting 7 episodes of Elsie Max now. And if she doesn't, if she comes back next episode, so... I really want it to be. It's one of those things, like, I wouldn't be surprised either way now if Elsie was in control. I want her to be. And I do agree, though. I do think that they are less malicious than we have been led to believe this whole time. Like, maybe there is some good to them. Hope it's the Elsie thing.
You think there isn't good to them?
Because we are hearing this whole time about how vicious they are, and we see them kill Maeve's daughter ruthlessly.
Oh, yeah, that whole thing.
Well, I mean, the Man in Black killed the daughter, but they either led the Man in Black there or they were already attacking Maeve.
They were trying to scalp Maeve or something's going down there.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, very brutal people in this show, which is going to be a pretty interesting twist if they're not.
I have another question. How would Elsie, theoretically, in this theory, how would she only have control over Ghost Nation, though? Like, is there a separate Ghost Nation joystick that you if you find it, you get to control just Ghost Nation? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a good point. We already know that they are at least in some other system because you can
separate systems
not respond. Well, no, because you can get them to not respond to prisoner motor functions, right? So I don't know if. Maybe Elsie in that little abandoned theater in Sector 9 or whatever. Maybe she found the Ghost Nation tablet. She's like, hey, This is just for Ghost Nation.
It's just an iPad with a piece of duct tape on the back that just has Ghost Nation written in Sharpie.
Yep.
And she was like, well, this will be helpful.
Yeah. So I think this theory definitely has some legs. So shouts to intern Trina's boyfriend.
I'm with it.
Next call.
What's up? This is Jay from Philly. It's really been bothering me since last season. So if Abernathy gets on the train, isn't his spine going to blow up? Like, they had to take that charge out of Maeve's spine so she didn't blow up if she got on the train. I don't ever remember them doing that to Mr. Abernathy. Just like to know what you guys think about that.
Huh. I'm going to say they did take it out and we just didn't see it on screen. That seems like too big of an oversight for Charlotte Hale to be like, yeah, let's send Abernathy out of the park. And then she would just completely forget that he would blow up upon exit. I do understand that.
No, surely they removed that hole. Yeah.
But it is interesting that they made it a big point to address taking it out of Hector and Maeve, but they didn't really say shit about taking it out of Abernathy, who's another person whose goal is to leave the park. You know what I'm saying? They stressed the shit out of it with Maeve.
I don't know. Maybe they just didn't have time to address. I don't know.
Well, the same thing with Dolores. I mean, she wants to get out to the real world too. We haven't ever seen her get hers removed. Is that something we're going to see later on, you think? Do you think Dolores' goal right now is to get back to the Mesa Hub to do a full body rebuild? Because we do see a rebuild in the Bernard montage in episode 1. There is a rebuild going on.
It doesn't seem to me that all of the hosts, like unless I'm forgetting something, is there a point where we were led to believe that Dolores is aware of the fact that she will need a rebuild? A full, what do they call it? A
full body rebuild? Right?
Is that what they call it?
Full rebuild? Something, either way.
Full rebuild?
What we're saying is acceptable.
Okay. Because I don't think she knows that. I don't think she knows about this whole C3 vertebrae deal. So I don't know.
Okay, interesting. So you think that this show is going to end with Dolores getting out to the real world and immediately blowing up?
No.
That's what you just said.
No. I said I don't think she's aware of it now. Obviously, it's something that she will either have to figure out or the show will end with the worst climax of all time. Where she, it's like if at the end of the Truman Show and Truman stepped through the door and he exploded and the movie ended and the credits rolled and we were like, oh, fuck, that's unfortunate. That'd be terrible. No one would like that. So, yeah, she has to figure it out at some point. I don't remember a scene so far where Dolores became aware of this whole the fact that you explode if you exit thing. Also, Dolores has exited the park multiple times.
Yeah, but that might have been before they implemented. That was back in the phase when they were still like testing out the host. They definitely didn't have like...
They hadn't implemented that security measure yet?
No, that was too early. That was when they didn't know that like they would need that. Because they had enough hosts back then and they were so in control of them that they would be like, there's no way they're
going
to... Maybe
they forgot to ever put one in, Dolores, you know?
Maybe
we don't have enough here yet.
You know what? I agree with Ross. Maybe the Dolores we see is the second Dolores. The first one, they took her out of the park, forgot about the thing, and it blew up. And they're like, oh, no.
Like, oh, God. Fucking 6 months of work down the toilet.
And so they had to build her up again. They had to do another conference, another demonstration, like six months later after they had to rebuild her. I agree with you, Ross. That's really good. That's a good thought.
Thanks, Jared.
Hey, this is Tyler from Kansas City. My friends call me Tyler. I've got some Freeze Fam comments. And one crackpot theory. So first off, the laser thing, Catherine Zeta-Jones, look that one up. Later on the episode, on the fort for the saving ammo, my theory is that she was trying to save the peanut, the ammo. So when they blew them up earlier, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that. Clementine, I don't think we've seen her talk since she got lobotomized season one. Not 100% on that, but let me know. Crackpot theory. Bernard downloaded all of this stuff from Pete. And that's why he was losing his shit after he snatched the ops cable out of his arm. That's my theory. Okay, bye.
Okay, a lot to unpack here. This is Tyler, and his friends call him Tyler as well. That's pretty easy. I mean, it's always nice not to have to, you know, have a nickname. You can always just respond to the same thing. So shouts to Tyler, a.k.a. Tyler. He thinks that, they killed Wyatt's men, Dolores' horde, killed all of the Confederados at the gate as a means of saving all the P90 ammo, which is actually not a bad theory at all. Because if they kill all of the Confederados, and that means that the P90 ammo is going to stay in the guns of the Delos people, and when they kill them, they can take their guns and have more ammo. I actually like this theory. I feel like it's the thing that only this guy thought about. Like, nobody has ever thought about this before besides Tyler, a.k.a. Tyler. But I'm here for it.
I just don't get the... They're on the other side of the wall.
Yeah.
So the theory is that they mow down the Confederados, run around to the other side, scoop the ammo, and then bail?
The idea is this. If they're going to kill all the Confederados, that means that the gun is going to stay, the ammo will stay in the P90s of the humans, and then when they blow them up with all the blow-up stuff, then their guns will have more ammo in them.
Jared, do you recall ever seeing anybody reload?
No.
Because I was under the impression that we weren't sure how ammunition works. I mean, I'm okay.
No, you know, I do see people reload in the show, yes.
Okay.
Grace has to load up that gun.
Different type of gun, though.
When she kills Ganju. I'm sure they're all... I've seen people reload, yes.
Even the... I'm talking about the human guns, though.
Well, the P90s, we can see up top. They store the ammo up top. They have a shit ton of ammo.
Okay. Okay. Just making sure. Because I've basically stayed under the impression that we're working with some kind of, like, you know, laser... What is the... what is it? Laser tag?
Yeah, Ross is a laser tag truther here. He thinks that Westworld is a one giant game of laser tag, and it's like all some 7-year-old's birthday party.
Yes. That's my big theory, but like I was going to save that for the end of the show. But the, yeah, I just figured everybody had infinity ammo. And, you know.
It was Thanos mode in Fortnite, right? Is that?
I've never seen Infinity War, man.
I haven't either. So if you have, you're better than me and Ross.
No, you're not.
What do you think about... I don't think Clementine has spoken since the lobotomy, which is interesting because...
Yeah, zombie Clementine is hot.
But Abernathy got the lobotomy and he speaks now. So that's interesting to me.
The lobotomy?
Yeah, and they stick the thing up your nose and drill you out. Remember Sylvester did it to Clementine?
Oh, yeah.
So maybe Sylvester is just really, really good at lobotomies. And he was able to make Clementine never speak again. And whoever did Peter's... He can talk again.
Yeah,
so Sylvester is the best lobotomizer ever.
Clementine is in full Jack Nicholson, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest mode. And Abernathy is just, is more like, you know, some like
he's
a
two
beautiful
flus.
Mind or
he's
some
two
shit.
Flus over the cuckoo nest.
Yeah, he has like six personalities now.
Yeah.
Six flus over the cuckoo nest.
Yeah.
But I'm into this Clementine, you know, not speaking thing. And it has nothing to do with like, me being a sexist and that being some underlying motif that I'd like to see play out, like women not talking. That is not it. So don't think that. It's just something about, she's like this ruthless fucking, I mean,
zombie.
She's like the T3 in Terminator at this point. She just walks around ending shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not speaking. Talk is cheap, motherfucker.
And his last theory was that Bernard downloaded all of the stuff from Abernathy into himself.
The stuff. Oh, man. And that's why he's having issues with the cortical fluid?
No. Just that's why he's freaking out at the end of the episode.
The conjugal fluid? okay. Yeah, okay.
Possible. He was already freaking out before that, but still possible he did it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say that's a bit of a stretch. Just because I feel like the amount of data we're talking about here would take a really long time. Like, I feel like we'll have to get a scene that's Bernard hooked up to Abernathy in, like, some type of matrixy, like, you know what I mean? Like, this will take a while.
Yeah.
You plug the USB in and, okay, now you have all the data.
Buffering.
Yeah, there's a lot of buffering.
There's going to be a rainbow spinning wheel.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be like half of an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Next call.
Samps. Crosby from Arkansas. I got something I'm burning on. I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. I may be an idiot, and if I am, please tell me why, and so I don't look an idiot in my day-to-day conversation. I think we need to define, like, consciousness, because we keep talking about Dolores, is she's conscious now, or Maeve is conscious now. Like, I mean, what is that? I mean, I guess at what point do we really say that the host is conscious? Cause, like, Maeve, she can't form her own thoughts, but she knows that she can't form her own thoughts. We have no idea, like, if Dolores is really doing that. She could definitely be on a narrative And which would, all I'm saying is there, it would mean that Maeve is more conscious than Dolores. Because I think Dolores gets all the credit for being conscious, but, I mean, Maeve, I think she's getting shut down. I think she knows more. To be honest, I had some notes. Man, I went off of them. I lost it. I lost this call. I'm probably not going to call back. Love what you guys are doing. I blew it. I blew it.
Holy shit.
You didn't blow it. Why are you so hard on yourself?
I love callers like that, though, where you just derail like slightly, and then you just decide, fuck it, and you throw the train off the tracks.
My favorite part was he goes, I'm probably not going to call back.
Yeah, you didn't have to say that. I mean,
well, you made it, sir. You made it, Arkansas man.
Arkansas man.
So here's the deal. He wants to talk about the different levels of consciousness. What is consciousness in our definition when we talk about who's more alive and all that crap?
Uh-huh.
This is a loaded question.
Yeah, I can't answer this question.
We can only hope to understand it.
I don't know. So, I don't even know if I'm conscious, frankly.
You don't look like it right now.
I don't feel it.
Yeah, your eyes are like barely open. I actually have a photo of you that I meant to tweet out of when we were recording one or two episodes ago. Ross was just laying with his entire body on the table, and he had pulled the mic down to an inch above the table, and he was just talking into it while laying down on the fucking table.
You're not supposed to tell people shit like that, but okay.
Well, I have a really good picture. You were also wearing a rainbow-colored robe at the time, so I feel like you're going to want to use this for podcast purposes.
I'm down with that.
Anyways, so here's what I understand so far. After Ford started Journey Into Night, it made it so that all of these hosts can fully improvise forever. They don't have to stick to their loops. Obviously, they are going to still have their personalities and their wants and desires programmed into them because that's who they are. Like, just because you're alive or conscious, like, it doesn't mean you have to start all over. Like, you're based in stuff. It's like if I told you, hey, Ross, you've been a robot the whole time, but now you're free to go off your loop. You're not going to just be like, I'm the new Ross now and start a whole new thing. You're still going to have these old connections and these old thoughts and desires and everything that you are based upon up to the point of where you can start making your own decisions. I think that Dolores, more than anybody else, is 100% done off the narrative. She, unlike Maeve, doesn't even have Lee's narrative programming in her anymore.
So you don't even think she's going off of, like, working with the database of lines and words that Lee has written? She can say whatever she wants?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
But
so,
Maeve, on the other hand, no.
No, she's still working with, she's still talking with Lee. Lee can still quote her and stuff. Like,
so what? One of the questions I have, and not to bounce off of this, I just think you've answered it to the fullest extent that we're going to be able to answer it. When we found out at the end of season two that Maeve getting off the train was all part of her narrative, that she was still operating entirely on her narrative.
Wait, getting off the train?
Wasn't it?
No, getting off the train was her breaking her narrative.
Do we know that for a fact?
Yes.
How do we know that for a
because
fact?
Because if you look at what the narrative was, it said like infiltrate mainland, and that was programmed into her, and she didn't do that. She opted not
okay.
to.
Okay, so she's no longer operating on the narrative then. As far as we know.
Yes. No, she's
okay.
not.
Okay. Okay. That was all.
I love that it's taken you until three episodes into season two.
I was under the impression that she was still on a loop.
No.
Okay.
I mean, aren't we all on loops at all times, Ross? See, this is another example of Ross's meta theories just coming in and really making us have to rethink everything, which is a burden, but also a blessing. So Ross, if we're all on loops at all times.
I didn't say that.
No, you did. You were trying not to rub it in my face, but you just had the best theory of the podcast. There's no getting off a loop. Everything's a loop. And I believe Kanye said it best. Loopity loop, loop, scoop, loop.
Yeah. Fruit loops.
Fruit loops, scoopity loops.
Mm-hmm.
Next call.
Yo, what's up, Famp Nation? This is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. Wanted to call in about Ghost Nation. And Maeve, in her flashback, correct me if I'm wrong, but she sees them, and then she sees the man in black, William, enter the space. So Yeah, I don't think she's going to be pleased if she ever comes face to face with the Men in Black. But what's his association with these Ghost Nation people? I think this gives more fodder to your theories that they're not like other hosts. Also, they have Grace, who maybe possibly is related to the Delos family. At least that's my theory. She was looking for something in that park, similarly to like the Man in Black looking for the maze. I don't know. Anyways, she's probably with them, and I would guess that Maeve and their group are going to bump into them somehow, because there's no way that she's not going to have to face her fears again. We'll see what happens. Should be interesting. Parents, say hi, and thanks for your concern last time. We really appreciate it. Have a great night, guys. Signing off.
What?
Yeah, this is the guy who he had to hang up and call back because his parents were calling.
Oh, yeah.
Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. And it's one of my favorite names for a hotline caller. Some Mike, strong names this week.
Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut.
And Tyler, a.k.a. Tyler, to his friends.
Yeah.
So this guy here, Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut, has a lot. And here are the main things he was saying. That, number one, if the Man in Black ever meets Maeve, shit's going to go down. Maeve always freaks out about her daughter's death. And the Man in Black caused it.
I want to see Maeve VS period versus Man in Black.
It's gonna happen. It's inevitable, and it's gonna be insane because she is still freaking out about this.
Freaking out means she's very angry.
Yeah, she's not happy with the fact that the Man in Black killed her daughter.
She's gonna murder the Man in Black.
She will murder the Man in Black. Yeah.
Theory confirmed. 3 episodes into season 2, Maeve kills Man in Black.
I'm not going to say that. That's not...
I just did.
Okay, I can't wait to cut that. We have so many clips that we're going to cut.
Theory confirmed.
It is episode 3, but I wouldn't say that's confirmed. Okay, next up. The fact that Man in Black was rolling around with Ghost Nation when he killed Maeve's daughter means there might be some connection.
Do we know he was rolling around with them, though? This is where it gets confusing, because those Maeve flashbacks were kind of mashed together. It's almost like they were two separate ones. There was one where... she was actually like the narrative was playing out as it's supposed to, which is her getting raided by, scalped by, and murdered by Ghost Nation. And then there was another where the Man in Black like busted up that narrative and came through her himself.
Yeah, I can see that, because the Ghost Nation turned
like,
into
how would
him.
That even
he like turned into the Man in Black. Remember?
Right, like it was this real the way that vision unfolded for her.
No, that could have been two different.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, because I have a hard time believing, like, especially after what we know about Ghost Nation now, or what we think we know, that the Man in Black somehow found a way to like team up with them, and that they'd be down with that. Like, yeah, we'll let this random white guy roll with us. Fuck it.
Huh. I mean, it's possible. I would actually, if anybody wants to do some deep dive on this, you can rewatch the entire scene of the Man in Black killing Maeve's daughter and see if it looks the same as the scene that we see of when Maeve's out in the field with her daughter when Ghost Nation attacks. I would actually love if somebody wants to do all that legwork, because that sounds like a lot. That sounds like a lot, and that would be dope if you did it.
Yeah, so just go rewatch from starting with season 1, episode 1, and then get back to us.
Yeah, all of you, or at least one of you. He also thinks, and this is one of two major theories, that Grace is a member of Delos, either the company or the family. The big one people are rolling with is that Grace is really the Man in Black's daughter, Emily.
Oh, shit. That would be cool. I would be psyched if there was more to Grace than we have seen already.
And if you believe that Ghost Nation did not scalp her, and because Ghost Nation is nice and like helping out humans, then she definitely will be back. And I have a good feeling she will be.
I'd be kind of, like, at first I was convinced we're never going to see her again. That was just a clean way to cut out that whole, story. But like the only purpose of that story was to show us that you can get easily from one park to the other.
Don't they say that it's the Game of Thrones thing? Unless you see them die, then they're not dead. What is it? The Hound, Gendry.
They say that?
They say that.
Who's they?
All of them.
Everyone. Well... that's not really a Game of Thrones thing, because you don't see Stannis die.
You kind of do, though. You see her swing the sword. Brienne doesn't miss.
Yeah, but how many times have we seen Jon Snow swing a sword at somebody he was supposed to be killing that he didn't kill? Ygritte. So at least once.
Okay.
Now, there's another example. I can't remember what it is, but...
we can't compare Brienne to Jon.
Wrong show. But point being... What were we talking about?
We were talking about Grace being Emily the Man Outsider.
Yeah, I am now under the impression that she will be more important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi to your parents also, Mike from Miami Living in Connecticut.
Yeah. Shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Mike from Miami Living in Connecticut.
And now we have a call from our own intern Serena about where what she thinks Dolores is going to Sweetwater for.
Ooh.
Hey guys, intern Serena here. So I too was wondering what Dolores needs to get in Sweetwater. And I'm wondering if it might have to do with those paintings she used to do every day. Back in season 1, episode 10, when Ford is explaining everything to Dolores and Bernard in cold storage, he tells Dolores, "You've always had a fondness for painting, haven't you, Dolores? Arnold gave you that early on. Do you remember that? A desire to create something of lasting beauty? If her affinity for painting was given to her by Arnold, coupled with all her talk of seeing beauty in the world, both pre- and post-awakening, could it be possible there's something hidden in those paintings? Plus, I saw this season 2 GIF, I'll tweet it to you, back when they were marketing for it, and it's one of the techs flipping through a stack of her landscape paintings. So I'm wondering if it could be significant, especially because we haven't seen it reopened yet. Okay, that's all. Thanks, guys."
I have now been 100% convinced that that's what's going to happen.
And define that.
Okay. So Dolores has been, she painted every day ever, forever, for like 30 years.
Right.
Part of her loop. If she didn't get taken off her loop, so any normal day in which she was able to play through her design loop without guest interaction, she would go by the river and she would paint.
Right.
The same picture every day.
Okay.
One of our first intern Serena memes was one about Dolores painting. You can check it out on our social. So she thinks that Serena thinks that Arnold put some hidden meaning in these paintings, and Dolores
is going to go back
and
find the paintings, and they're going to have some clue to something in them.
Yes. It seems to me that that's what intern Serena is hinting at.
Okay.
And I do remember this GIF that they put out for season 2 marketing, flipping through all of the paintings.
It's a much better guess than anything I have. I have spent several minutes thinking about what she could possibly be going to back to Sweetwater for, and this is better than anything I've come up with.
This is the only one I've heard that actually sounds like plausible, and I'm going to say right now that it's confirmed.
And is this, like, Jared, do you believe we're going to see Sweetwater like Ghost Town Sweetwater, or are there still going to be hosts there like kicking it?
I think we already saw Sweetwater, I believe, and right. Everybody was dead. Dolores was killing everybody, remember?
It's still just going to be bodies everywhere?
Yeah, let the bodies to the floor is going to be playing on the player piano.
That would be really cool.
Hey, Ramin Djawadi, you should who sings Let the Bodies Hit the Floor?
Dead. I don't know. Sing for a second and I'll look it up.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the dun dun.
That's okay.
Is that pretty good?
That was so disturbing that I can't even get the password to my computer correct, so it's going to be a second. Let the bodies
hit
the floor.
Well, guys.
That is by Drowning Pool.
Drowning Pool.
Hell of a music video, I might add. Hell of a music video.
Is a drowning pool a pool specifically for drowning in?
I don't know. I don't want to look that up. I'm scared to Google that. what is the definition of the name drowning pool? I don't wanna see.
Yeah. Yeah. Next call. And by the way, this call is the other theory about Grace.
So I got a theory that I know Ross will hate because it overcomplicates things, but fuck it. So Grace is actually younger Teresa. If you look at her hair and the way she smokes and all her mannerisms, she's just like Teresa. I know what you're thinking. Her name's Grace, but that could be her middle name, like, you know, William and Ross. So it's also pretty cool that she's really concerned that that one guy's a host and she tries to kill him to make sure before she sleeps with him. And then in the end, she gets killed by a host that she's sleeping with, because she thought he was human. And then this could also be that's why she became QA, because she went through this big critical failure, because they never say what the critical failure is. You're to believe it's Arnold killing himself and all that. But I think Ford swept that under the rug pretty well. I don't think the park would have ever been able to be opened if that was a possibility. So this could have been the critical failure all the way back then. I know it's thinking the Tiger, but I don't know, maybe the show was just fucking with me. But yeah, let me know what you think.
Yep. So there it is, Ross. He says you're going to hate it.
I do hate it. I don't hate it like that much. Don't feel bad. The ones where there's not much for me to comment on after you've unloaded are just, my head hurts, you know? Because it's like, yeah, I get it. Okay, that's a theory. We have zero things to back it up or argue about, though, so there's like not much I can say until we see another episode. I appreciate the fact that you spent that amount of time thinking about possibly what the situation with Grace could be. Here's the thing. With ones like that, it's like, okay, how would they present the twist that Grace is Teresa without it sucking? You know what I mean? Oh, she went by a different name because blank. What could you say there that wouldn't piss everyone off? It'd be tough.
Okay.
Like what? Her ex-husband? She had to change her name because her ex-husband was a spousal abuser?
That's a really oddly specific.
I'm just saying, you know what I mean? There'd have to be like some reason.
I think if this is true, the reveal will just be like, it'll be Grace like showing her passport to go to Roz World, and it's just going to say like Teresa, Grace, whatever. But here's the deal with this theory. Everything about it makes sense. Every single part of it, because we do know that Teresa was somewhat involved with the overall goings on at the park. You know, she was sneaking out data for Delos. So she knows she's involved in the bigger scheme of things. But my hang up is this whole deal with the Tiger. We're led to believe that Tiger was the same one we see present day.
Oh, yeah.
As in present day, as in 2 weeks in the future, because that's really what present day is. So when Bernard and Carl Strand and Costa go and find the Tiger on the shore, we're led to believe, and it looks like the same Tiger. I think it's even situated the same way.
We should probably just stop talking about this because I think that pretty much solves that.
It doesn't necessarily. Because so if this... Hold on, stay with me here.
Okay.
Stay with me here.
Okay.
This guy's theory is that this was the critical failure they mentioned in episode one. The critical failure that hasn't happened in 30 years, which we always thought was Arnold, you know? We always thought it was Arnold's and all the
host. Well,
that's
the only one we've seen.
Exactly. He's saying that this... Because if Teresa, let's say she's like 30 here, that means she's 60. The timeline doesn't match up exactly. You'd think she'd be like 20. She looks a little older than 20. But anyways, that this is the critical failure was that, you know, the Ganju went off and Rosworld started going crazy. And that is what got Teresa into doing QA because she like wanted to not have that happen again. And potentially whoever made the flood that happened could have just put the Tiger there as like an homage to the old critical failure. That is a crackpot.
Oh, come on.
That's this guy's crackpot theory that I'm expanding on. There you go. Now you understand the Teresa is Grace theory.
No comment.
Hey guys, Kyle calling from San Diego again. After watching this episode, I realized that I think they debunked the theory that Bernard killed everyone in the control room. I know that they have that scene where he has that gun spraying down people, but if you look at the timelines, it doesn't really match up because, one, when Maeve enters that room, everyone's already dead when she's with little homeboy and that's carrying the Duncan. His name's blank on me right now. When they get to control, everyone's dead. Now, further on their timeline, assuming it's linear, she meets up with Dolores in the park. So that's after that. And then after they meet Dolores in the park, Dolores goes to that, she goes to the Confederados where she meets up with Bernard. And at this point, that's after she talked to Maeve, which is after Maeve was in the control room. But at this point, when she sees Bernard still hasn't re-entered the facility other than the time that he was with Black Chick and spacing on names again. But that just kind of shows that he hasn't really entered that control room yet. And so the only, I guess, way around that is that the multiple Bernards that were in that closet or whatever is actually true. Let me know your thoughts.
This call appears to be saying with good evidence
that was a call. I thought that was a walkie-talkie.
I'm not here to criticize people's call quality. This appears to debunk the Bernard went ham in Mesa Hub control room theory, which is what we've seen in the episode one Bernard montage at the beginning of the episode. We see him in the control room, or in a control room, I should say. Important for me to say.
A control room.
Maybe there are multiple control rooms from multiple parks. That was going to be my response to this theory. But going back to his theory. So if you look at the timeline, from everything we're led to believe, Bernard has never left the park before Maeve runs into Dolores. Right?
Right.
Dolores runs into Bernard not long after the whole Maeve thing.
Okay.
So it would appear that Bernard was still in the park when Maeve was in the control room.
Okay.
Meaning it could not have been that Bernard.
Know what I'm saying? Okay, I follow.
So ways that this theory could still be true, the multiple Bernards that we still haven't seen yet, could have been one of the Bernards.
I'm refusing to acknowledge the multiple Bernards until it's forced upon me.
You think it's a red herring?
That would be so good. I don't know. I'm not saying I think it's a red herring. I'm saying I'm refusing to acknowledge it until it's forced upon me. Dude, that makes, like, we're already in a place here where it's really hard to predict or figure out what's going on. That would really fuck us.
Yeah. The other way to go against this guy's rebuttal is that maybe this was the Shogun World control room.
Shogun.
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 Right?
Shogun.
No, it's, yeah.
Shogun.
So, I mean, if you think about it, that the control room for Westworld just has the Westworld map on it. So there has to be one for each park.
You would think so. And you would think that they'd use the same design. Why wouldn't they?
So, yeah, exactly. So I'm going to say this theory... still confirmed.
3 episodes in.
Let's do it. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to tell you about what you're going to do to get geared up for Memorial Day. Memorial Day is like the 4th of July's little brother. It's the day you kind of test out your patriotism before, you know, the big day on 4th of July. And here at Rowdy Gentlemen, which is owned by Grand X Media, who owns and operates the podcast you're currently listening to, we operate rowdygentleman.com, which is the number one shop for patriotic clothing, party clothing, beach clothing. When you're trying to have good times, this is good times gear. Every time you want to have fun, you should be wearing Rowdy Gentleman, because that's what we're all about here. Memorial Day weekend delivery is guaranteed if you buy right now on Rowdy Gentleman, and a lot of our patriotic clothing is 50% off. We're loco for doing this right now because, you know, we could easily just be selling these full price because Memorial Day is coming up. But we want to gear you guys up. So you can get the American flag tank top. It's literally just a tank top that is the American flag. We have Reagan Bush 84 tank tops. We've got American flag swim trunks. We've got American hats, national anthem flag, Hawaiian shirts, crazy other. We have a Hawaiian shirt that has president's heads on it, and the president's wearing sunglasses. You're trying to get geared up for Memorial Day and for 4th of July. You can do that right now on Rowdy Gentlemen. And not only do we have a lot of stuff up to 50% off, we also still have the promo code for you listening to this podcast. With promo code FREEZE, you get 15% more off. So right now, you need to get geared up with your patriotic gear. A lot of patriotism coming this summer. Memorial Day, 4th of July, the Flag Day, Arbor Day, you get the point. Head to rowdygentleman.com with promo code FREEZE and get geared up for the good times.
Hey, if you're looking for a new sports podcast from three guys who don't know a whole lot about hockey, man, have we got the show for you.
But we know a good time.
We do. Backdoor Cover is the name of the show. You can subscribe on iTunes. In our most recent episode, I wore a hockey mask while we recorded. Dan is from Philly and he's part of the show.
I am part of the show. I do hold it down for the Northeast and the 610.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a selling point. We talk about gambling a lot. Two of the three of us have gambling problems. Backdoor Cover
very
on iTunes.
Very serious gambling problems.
Yeah, it's please listen. Please.
Backdoor Cover.
Please.
Subscribe to Backdoor Cover on iTunes.
Was that the beep? Oh, shit. Okay. I'm Brock from Seattle. First time caller to Freeze All Motor Functions. I just got to say, kind of surprised that neither of you guys thought that the Grace character was a young Teresa. Me and my brother both immediately thought that it was Teresa because of the way she was smoking her cigarette and was kind of rude to the attractive man with abs. And then two Game of Thrones things that you guys didn't comment on, the gate holding the men. Oh, fuck, I just died in Fortnite. Sorry. The gate holding the Confederados was a lot of like the episode Hard Home. And then another Westworld thing, or sorry, Game of Thrones, is when they sent the man away and then shot him with the P90. Was kind of like when Ramsey was playing with Rickon and shot him playing the game running away. So two Game of Thrones things. And then we really thought that I was a young Teresa, not Grace, just by the way she was smoking her cigarette. So let me hear your thoughts.
Again, I'm having trouble with the, we thought the character, whose name is Grace, was a young Teresa.
I mean, they certainly frame it up like that. I do appreciate
the goddamn tiger thing. Shits all over this. It does. There is no good explanation for that.
Who said this show is about good explanations? Now
the people who everyone.
I appreciate this man playing Fortnite during his call.
Yeah, that's
and then dying halfway through.
That's dedication, though. That's what it takes.
And I also appreciate this man's Game of Thrones. You know, we talk a lot about Game of Thrones here. And
appreciate,
by the way,
you, Blood.
Yeah, good Game of Thrones reference noticing. And you know what? I'm just going to do Ross's plug for him. If you like how we talk about Game of Thrones, Ross literally does a podcast where all he talks about is Game of Thrones.
It's a Game of Thrones podcast. It's like this, except for Game of Thrones. And right now between...
and I'm not on it. You got to say I'm not on it.
Jared is not on it. Well, he's been on it many times. I'm not sure what the complaining is for. between season 7 and 8, we're doing a rewatch of every episode, starting with season 1, episode 1. And recording a podcast for every episode. But it's a rewatch, not a watch. So this isn't for you if it's your first watch. Just catch up.
There are spoilers, unlike with our watch.
Very much spoiler-free. Or spoiler-filled, rather.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's called Oysters, Clams, and Cockles. You should check it out on the same place you check out Freeze All Motor Functions, iTunes.
Here's another theory. This is one of the biggest theories or like noticed things from this week.
What's up, fellas? This is Kevin from Florida. Just calling in about a symbol that I noticed, like, in episode 1 of season 2, and then it later came up in this last episode of episode 3. So Grace, the new girl in the India Park, she has a hand-drawn map, and in, like, the lower right-hand side of that map, there's this, like, symbol with two hexagons overlapping. And then that symbol is seen again later in the episode whenever Bernard cracks into the Abernathy, like, code on that tablet. It, like, opens up to that symbol, and then that goes into the lower right-hand side of that. The other time we see that in episode 1 of season 2 is whenever Charlotte is logging on to the Omega Chi server in the, like, lower ground lab, and she is asking about the evacuation. Just wanted to get your thoughts on what that symbol could be, what it could mean, and, like, how Grace, Charlotte, and Abernathy and all three are connected. Maybe it's, like, a Delos, like, side corporation, like, that Charlotte is kind of trying to run behind the scenes with her posse. How does Grace know about it? Like, a lot of things that could kind of be connected here with all the new stuff. So just wanted to get your take on that. Love the podcast. Love the show. Keep doing what you're doing, fellas. Bye.
This man's back on the Grace train and pointing out that the symbol in her little notebook,
yes,
is the same symbol we've seen other times with Charlotte, you know, talking to the people with Bernard in that little remote facility.
Yeah, when she's on their instant messenger featured thingy.
Yes. And then there is the other time that this guy mentioned. So, with the Abernathy computer with Bernard. Okay, what the hell is this symbol? There's a lot of options.
Okay, so the point is it's not the Westworld symbol.
No.
And it's not the Delos symbol.
No.
We don't know what it is.
It looks like it. Somebody pointed out that it looks like kind of two interlocking Ds, which could be a general Delos Destinations logo. It could be the Delos Illuminati symbol.
So I've got the Delos thing pulled up. You're telling me it's not this.
It's not that.
By the way, just have to say, Delos' logo is shit. It's a bad logo. They need to reevaluate.
Mm-hmm.
The Westworld logo is incredible. The Freeze All Motor Functions logo, inspired by the Westworld logo, even more incredible. The Delos logo, shit.
Yeah, and you know, we might improve the Delos logo here soon. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, okay.
Ross, any thoughts on this symbol?
You know, I'm trying to Google an answer right now and I can't find anything. So no. Normally I wouldn't do that. I'm in Google Images. I'm trying to find the image of the symbol so that I can further evaluate. But yeah. I got nothing.
Good job. Last call.
Yeah, what up, guys? My name is Tim. I live in Baltimore, and I host a weekly viewing party at my house for the show. And I'm just wondering if each of you had to dedicate a cocktail to a character of the show, what would it be? I need some ideas, guys. I make cocktails every week for the show. Gotta know. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, this is good.
This is a lot of pressure because I have a good feeling that this guy will make our cocktails for his watch party on Sunday.
Okay, let's break down some popular cocktails.
I need to say this. I have one that I really need you to make. Like, I need you to make, I don't have a good name for it, but maybe you can help me with this, Ross. Logan's Old Fashioned. Because we know Logan drinks an Old Fashioned at the retirement party.
See, I was going to go with, like, the Old Fashioned is Teddy.
What? Why?
Because he's
an old-fashioned guy?
Yeah.
I kind of like... Here's what I like. I like the idea of Logan's old-fashioned, but it's the alternate definition of old-fashioned, which is a hand job, which is very fitting for Logan's character. You know what I'm saying? Logan's a very sex-crazed man.
Now we're doing sex moves, dude?
No, it's not a sex move. No. It's the name of the cocktail. It's because he likes old fashions, and he likes the other alternate definition of old fashions, presumably.
How do you know he likes hands?
He's a sex-crazed man. I'm sure you'd take anything.
Hmm.
I'm submitting Logan's old fashioned, but old fashioned is in quotes.
Okay.
That's my drink. Oh, also make it a brandy old fashioned. Shout out to all the Wisconsin boys out there.
Let's see. If somebody was a vodka soda, who would that be?
A vodka soda with what?
Lime.
How about a vodka soda with a ham sandwich garnish and call it the Sylvester?
You can't garnish a drink. What? I wish there was a Russian character.
About the bloody Sylvester and it's garnished with a ham sandwich?
Instead of a Bloody Mary?
Yeah, instead of like bacon or cheese or celery, it's just garnished with a ham sandwich. The bloody Sylvester.
I'm going to say the Man in Black is just a shot of whiskey, right? Or a whiskey sour, perhaps.
Oh, he's a pretty sour guy, and he likes whiskey.
Whiskey sour for the Man in Black?
Oh, but it should be like black whiskey, like really dark whiskey. Is that a thing? Like dark rum, dark whiskey?
Maeve is definitely like a martini.
I can see that. The Maeve-tini?
The Maeve-tini.
And then what about Dolores?
She's tough, man, because she's got so many personalities. We need something with like a lot of different things mixed into it. What kind of drink has like several ingredients?
A Manhattan?
I thought a Manhattan was just a...
I don't know. Oh, it's two ingredients. Wow, I'm fucking wrong. Three with the bitters, says producer Micah.
The most complicated cocktail should be the Dolores.
This is a side note, and it's a story that I want to tell. It's for the guests. So... In college, whenever I'd buy shots for people, I'd be like, hey, y'all, I'll buy some shots. And I'd always buy the same shot. The bar that we go to, the KK, the college club in Madison, Wisconsin.
You're shouts. 1K away from a problem.
It is. I agree. So the KK, they would sell a lot of Long Island. So like obviously it's not worth it at that point for you to pour the five different bottles into each drink. So they would buy Barton's pre-mixed Long Island iced tea alcohol mix. It's like a mixture. It's already mixed of all the liquor. And so I'd say, give me four shots of the pre-mixed Long Island iced tea mix. And they go, what? And I go, yeah. And it happened every time.
You're sick.
And then eventually they just started nodding their heads.
Okay. What if, who did you assign a Bloody Mary to?
Bloody Sylvester with a ham sandwich garnish.
Yeah, see, that's unrealistic.
No,
Bloody Dolores.
No, I'm not getting off of the Bloody Sylvester. It's so easy. All you need to do
why?
Is make...
Why? Explain
you need
to make, me why.
Okay, because it's funny, bitch.
No, but how does it make sense?
Okay, Sylvester had his neck slashed open by Maeve. He was bloody at one point. You can also have a grenade garnish an olive. The olive is the grenade. So it's an olive and a ham sandwich on a stick, garnishing a bloody Sylvester. That is so good. That is what you have to do, my Baltimore
ham
friend.
Ham sandwich.
Tim in Baltimore, you got to do Logan's Old Fashioned and the bloody Sylvester. Boom. And that's it. That's all the calls we have this week, guys. Hope you enjoyed them. I hope we adequately discussed all the burning questions you had from episode 3. Make sure to tune in on Monday for our episode 4 recap. If you want to get in on next week's Cold Line episode, 888-6-FREEZE. Also, make sure to use code FREEZE on Rowdy Gentlemen and Man Outfitters for a discount that is only for the guests. Only for you guys. It is 15% off.
Mm.
Yeah.
Half
of 30. That's one half. We got some great stuff over there. Check it out. Tweet at us. DM us. Leave comments. We will respond to everything. I'm at Jared Borslow on everything. Ross is at WR Bolin on everything.
Beep, 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 beep.
We are at Freeze All Motor on Twitter. Instagram at Freeze All Motor Functions. NPR style sign off. Freeze All Motor Functions is brought to you by Grand X Media and hosted by me, Jared Borslow, along with Ross Bolin. Michael Wiener produces the show. Special thanks to Phil from DC, aka Schnapple, on SoundCloud for our intro music. Brad Hess for our outro music. Intern Garrett, who helped us format and prepare the show, and intern Serena, who does insanely awesome Westworld themed Photoshop work for us that you can check out on our Twitter at Freeze All Motor and Instagram at Freeze All Motor Functions. Oh, I have no breath left after that one. Dedication here is to Ross because he's my best friend. I love him.
Love
See you.
Too.
You love me too. Oh, I'm pissed I talked over you there. Can you say that again?
No.
Shit. See you Monday. Freeze All Motor Functions.